This is Healthcare Now Radio's Trending Now. Get ready for an exhilarating 30-minute ride through the latest topics driving change in digital health across the news and social media. Join us as our subject matter host takes the lead in uncovering what's hot and what's not. So buckle up and tune in to stay in the know.
Welcome to Trending Now on Healthcare Now Radio, where we explore the forefront of healthcare innovations and transformations. I'm your host, Shahid Shah. Today, we're really thrilled to have Shankar, and I'm going to get this name completely wrong, so I'll have him give his last name out. He's the CEO and founder at Assimile. What's trending now and what Shankar and I will discuss is the escalating cybersecurity threats to hospitals amid a whole bunch of shrinking budgets and how Assimile's innovative solutions empower information security professionals to mitigate those risks effectively. So join us today. I mean, we're going to have a really good time, interactive conversation around the most critical issues. And because so many people talk about cybersecurity and risks all the time, we're going to, you know, try to be a little bit more provocative, give you some of the unobvious kinds of information. And that's really because Shankar's got a fantastic background that really comes outside of healthcare as much as he's doing in healthcare these days as well. So with that, Shankar, tell us a little bit about yourself, especially your time at Symantec and all the IoT work that you were doing there and the cybersecurity challenges faced by healthcare organizations.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot, Shahid. Last name is Somasundaram, but just call me Shankar. That'll make it easier. So, you know, my background is I started Assimile a few years ago. Prior to Assimile, I used to run the IoT business at Symantec, where our focus was on all verticals like industrial, healthcare, automotive. And we were focused on securing and managing IoT devices in the environment. And before that, I have a product and engineering background. But when I was doing this work at Symantec, I realized that healthcare was an underserved area. It's a market where there's a lot of risk. The risks have a direct impact on patient care. And so that's an area that needs to be solved for, not just from a cybersecurity, but also from a general patient welfare. And that's why I decided to start Assimile to focus on that. And at Assimile, our focus has been around solving the healthcare cybersecurity challenge so far. The challenge in healthcare has been there's a ton of medical and IoT devices in healthcare, and there's been a huge device proliferation, and these are getting more connected. And these are connected to the patient. They are helping provide care to the patient. They contain patient data. And when you look at all of this, they contain a ton of useful information that attackers can leverage and get financial benefits out of it, which we have seen with ransomware attacks, and they can get other kinds of incentives out of it. So the ability, what Assimile's focus has been on how do you really help secure these hospitals from such attacks, which requires you to identify what these devices are in the network, requires us to identify what kind of vulnerabilities are there, where are the most critical ones, how do you prioritize it, how do you mitigate it, what kind of threats exist, how do you mitigate that, and then provide them a comprehensive solution to address the problem, right? And this has become more and more important because the number of ransomware attacks have increased. You have seen many such news. Financial attackers have seen greater financial advantage in these. And a healthcare record sells for more than $100 in the market. A credit card record sells for 5 cents, 1 cent to the dollar. So there's a huge financial incentive in going after healthcare records. And so attackers are taking more advantage of healthcare institutions, and there's a greater need now to protect them than ever before.
Yeah, so what I love is your focus on the IoT side. So the first question, maybe let's start off with the fact that when you go into a hospital environment, you might be looking at almost three different flavors of IoT and connected and informatic systems. One is traditional IT, right? Things that just fit on a normal PC, Macintosh, et cetera. Then there is the clinical IT, things like electronic healthcare records and such. But then there's this world that's almost most of IT people think of it as a separate universe, and literally other people take care of it, which are the med techs. And that is the medical IoT on the clinical devices, connected or otherwise. How do you guys help figure out what is a medical device IoT and what you do there for cybersecurity versus a clinical server or a clinical set of content type of machines versus the normal traditional IT that we all think about?
It's a great question, Shah. And I would say it's even more complex than what you said. Outside of the three areas you mentioned, there's IoT devices, which is surveillance cameras, printers, And then there's OT devices, which are building management systems, elevators, and so on, HVACs, power supplies. Somebody defined healthcare as a system of systems. It is the one vertical which encompasses every other vertical that you can think of. I mean, you are in such a heterogeneous vertical, you have to have very core technology and IP that can allow you to differentiate between all those five classes, not just the three you mentioned, the other two I mentioned as well. And so Assembly has spent many years building. That's why it took us a while to launch the product. And then we have obviously worked over hundreds of health systems. We are actually deployed more than 2,000 sites now, not just across US, Germany, Middle East. And all the data that's coming into our system every day helps us continuously improve it. It's never going to be perfect, so we're going to keep improving it every day. And we spend a lot of time using a combination of AI, which is like, based on the metadata that we are seeing, or heuristics that we are seeing, how do you identify what kind of device family it is and what kind of device type it is as well at the same time. But we also use a lot of deep parsing, where we pass more than 200 different protocols, which are ways in which the devices talk on the network to identify the kind of device it is. And then there's a lot of IP on top of it, which can take all this data and analyze it and provide that insight.
Yeah, what I love about this is, so I'd love for you to expand a little bit more on the idea that when you go into a hospital, obviously with the, and I love how you put it, is that healthcare is a single vertical that encompasses every other vertical, right? There's really nothing in healthcare that doesn't also come from other verticals. When you have that level of integration requirements, how do you convince your customers about where to start and how much to spend? What does that conversation even start with?
Yes, the good news is, at least with Assembly, we don't have to let them, they don't have to pick and choose. They can just put us on the network and we will identify and we will sort out everything, all the mess in the network, and give them a very clear view, a very easy to understand, segregated view of what devices are in what family, what are their types, the manufacturer, and so on. And then they can make a choice saying, my budgets are only so much, so I'm going to start paying for your medical devices. Then I'm going to add IoT devices. Or they might choose to do everything at once, and then we have ways to work with them on that as well. And the way the deployment works is very simple, at least for Assembly. We just have to put it in the network. We literally, our entire deployment time takes 30 minutes on a given hospital. So it's not really very intense in kinds of from a deployment perspective as well, which makes it easier for a hospital to adopt it. Because if you are easy to deploy, if you can actually, categorize them and classify them in a way that's easy to consume, then it gives the hospital more choices and you can make decisions later on in the cycle based on the data that you see, right? So it's not much effort in convincing because it's so easy to deploy and so easy to see the data. It really gives the choice to the hospital at the end on what they really want to do with Assembly. And that's based on their budgets. And that has been an ever-evolving game with hospitals and OPEX and so on. But I think now at least they have the choice based on the data that they're seeing.
Yeah, that sounds, it almost sounds too good to be true. So let's double click on this a little. So say that you came in less than 30 minutes, you got the appliances and other software installed, and now you have a view of where are all the, and I'm calling them vulnerabilities, not in a cybersecurity sense, but what is potentially vulnerable? So you have devices and all the other classifications. So you've got that on the screen now. And now what? What happens? Do you just leave and say, okay, have a good day with this data? Or what do you do for them afterwards?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, it's not as instantaneous. I just want to be clear as well and clarify. You don't just put and it just doesn't magically give it to you the next minute. We ask for a couple of weeks to collect the data. Not we as in the solution takes a couple of weeks to collect the data, analyze it and show them. It generally within the first 48 hours, they see most of it, but we generally say, let the solution run for a couple of weeks. So let's say you have run for a couple of weeks and then you have seen all the data, you have all the information. There are many ways you can leverage this information. First, we do integrate with many different enterprise systems like a ServiceNow, a Cisco, Tenable. And so what we can do is we can feed this information to other systems to make them smarter about the environment and provide them more context, right? So there's one information place where we make other systems much more context aware, if I can call it that way. The other way is where we can effectively provide additional contextual information like utilization of the devices, when are they on, when are they off, that can help with procurement and planning. So for example, during COVID, some of our customers used our data to understand how many more ventilators they should buy, how many more infusion pumps they should buy. So it's an ongoing thing from a procurement and planning, which can save them millions of dollars. The third thing is we actually also create enforcement policies based on the risk we see, based on the vulnerabilities. So it's an ongoing thing. Like cybersecurity is not a one and done. It's a cat and mouse game. you do better, cybersecurity attackers do better, then you do better, they do better. And so it's a continuous process as a solution is constantly monitoring, is providing recommendations, and it's providing you what we call NAC policies and patching policies to implement those recommendations. And so you're not just getting observability, you're getting actually remediation and mitigation through our integration with other solutions, but driven by Assembly as well, driven by Assembly primarily as the brain of what really needs to be done in the environment. So this is not just an observability, but a way to understand and make actionable recommendations that they can help with saving costs through procurement and planning, improving their risk posture by mitigating risk. And the solution is constantly doing this as new vulnerabilities, as new devices come in.
No, I love that. And in fact, that allows you to have a budget conversation to say, look, we're not just here giving you a cost center and more work that you have to do. So you say, okay, install it, let it do the monitoring, come up with the ideation popping out of it. And then it sounds like what you're going to be able to do is to help the staff that is already busy doing what they are doing become more productive by letting them focus on things that don't require them go to do manual things. But I really found what you said interesting on the utilization side. So let's dive a little bit more on that. What are some of the cost savings you can see, or maybe productivity enhancement you can see if you knew the utilization, not even just from a cybersecurity perspective, but just from a network perspective around medical devices?
That's a great question. By the way, I think cybersecurity has moved from a cost center to an ROI, and it is an ROI, but I think that's where a solution gets to. So I'll give you two examples on utilization and one outside of that as well. So utilization, there are two simple examples. One is very simple, where you have a device, you have, let's say, a fleet of devices, and you're looking to buy some more devices. And so you say, let's say I have 100 infusion pumps and I want to buy 10 more. The question then you have to ask yourself is, do I really need the additional 10 more or can I live with what I have, right? And if you have to go procure new devices and you have to buy new devices, then that's good. So there's a cost effort, there's a manual effort. And so, but if you know the utilization is only 60% and half the devices aren't even turned on in your fleet, you can actually save a ton of capital expenditure and you can save operational expenditure doing it. The other kind of things is, let's say you have three facilities and you have radiology imaging devices in each facility. What if one facility is completely, the imaging devices are not being used? So you can redirect the patients to one facility, whereas in the other facility, maybe it's overused. And so you can reduce the patient waiting times by utilizing that information. So that's the other example, which has a direct impact on patient. If you go to a hospital and if you wait for 2 hours for your X-ray versus 15 minutes for the X-ray, and like, what would you prefer, right? So this has a direct impact on patient well-being and patient care. And that obviously has a big impact on the hospital's reputation. Hospitals exist to serve patients. And if you can improve that, that makes a huge difference. But even from a cybersecurity perspective, right, there is an ROI component, at least the way we do it. Let's say you have only two linear accelerators. Let's say you're a cancer treatment center. You have two linear accelerators. Patients are coming for radiation therapy. What if one of them went down? Like, you could have cancer patients who are not getting chemotherapy at the right time. But if I told you it's running a legacy operating system, but there's a way to reduce the risk without having to do a full upgrade, without having to do a full replacement, that could save a huge amount. Those things cost millions of dollars. It could save a huge amount of time, but could also save patients an enormous amount of heartache by actually not getting the chemotherapy on time. And so cyber also, at least what Assembly does with our proprietary IP, has an ROI impact to that, because now you've saved $3 million, $500,000, whatever the device is, but not having to replace it while reducing the risk and ensuring that the OPEX in trying to replace and reconnect some other devices is taken care of.
No, I love it. In fact, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. This is Trending Now. I'm your host, Shahid Shah, and I'm talking to Shankar Somasundaram. I think I got that right name right at Assembly. And we are discussing how innovative cybersecurity tools like Assembly are essential for protecting hospitals in today's digital age. And what we've learned in the last 15, 20 minutes of our conversation is that cybersecurity can be treated often, as people do, as a cost center, but really it's the return on investment that Shankar is teaching us about is very, very important. And that is, if you can bring in a tool like what Shankar is describing, where it can basically, after a very short deployment period, no human intervention, it can start to collect the utilization data, understand the network, map the proper LANs and VLANs and all the switches and everything else, and you know where data is flowing, you can start to do more than just figure out, are your systems secure? I mean, once you know that your systems are secure, Are they in proper utilization? Are the software upgrades that you need regularly being done? And so a lot of the risks today, Shankar, on especially clinically focused connected medical devices, like you talked about the infusion pumps or the proton therapy devices, et cetera, are because the devices are FDA cleared, and they're often not upgraded as often as the vendors say that they should be. Is there anything about assembly that's giving more insight as to where versioning is at for these devices?
Yeah. So that's part of our visibility module. We do give customers information on what operating system, what service pack, what firmware version runs on the device as much as possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but as much as possible, we provide that. And that gives customers very useful insights on where is their version level in their environment. We also try to provide if that is the latest version or not, so they know there is a later version on it, so they know they are behind. So we do provide all that information. Vulnerability. So you might have a later version. Yeah, there are no specific vulnerabilities on that version. And so you might be fine. So not only are we providing visibility into the older versions or whatever versions you have, the firmware software, but we are tying it to what's happening outside to understand your exact inventory posture, application posture, but also risk posture from that perspective.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. So now, as you start to learn about these particular areas, part of the cybersecurity side is to help you prevent things like ransomware, help you prevent phishing attacks, help you prevent all kinds of things. So obviously, you should try to take care of the what we refer to often as the low-hanging fruit. As you go into hospitals today, what are they not doing right with the low-hanging fruit that Assembly shows them things, but they don't really take care of it? So do you guys help take care of some of that remediation and resolution? Do you leave it up to the customer? How do you assist in stuff that needs to get done?
So I think part of the reason why hospitals struggle with remediation and thing is because it's such a complex environment. And I started off with saying hospitals are a system of systems. You see every vertical in it. When you have such a complex vertical and you have low resources, it is a perfect combination where you have too much complexity and too little resources to address the complexity, right? And that's why hospitals are not able to take care of it. We are obviously simplifying that complexity by giving them the data, but we are also helping them remediate by actually providing the insights in a form that can directly be applied with a click of a button. So that effectively makes the entire remediation process much more easy and much more doable with your limited resources. So we are a multiplier effect in the hospitals that's making it possible. Even then beyond that, there are hospitals which will, even with like minimal amount of effort, they can't take it just because they're spread thin. So there we have partners who can provide services. We also have some own services we can provide that can handhold them on the last mile, if I can put it that way, or have a partners handhold them on the last mile. And so we have done that as well, directly or through partners, where we're just ensuring that customers are able to leverage and able to cross the last little piece that they have to cross, and they know what needs to be done, right? So the combination of technology and people and processes, we have been able to get there.
And in the examples that you've seen about ransomware and other items in the news recently, how much of what you guys do could have prevented some of those kinds of problems that we see in the news?
So I want to be careful here because, cybersecurity is not there's no solution in the world, not a single solution in the world today that can act as a silver bullet. And I will be the first to say that even though I'm the CEO of Assembly, first of all, the thing to remember in cybersecurity is there's no solution which is a silver bullet. So I will be the first to say that Assembly is not a silver bullet either. There's no one solution that can prevent all your problems. Not Assembly, not anybody else in the world, and you shouldn't believe that. So every solution acts as a way to reduce the attack surface and to minimize the ability for the attacker to take advantage of your environment. And Assembly does that very thoroughly on the medical and IoT devices side. But let's say somebody on their email got an email which said, click here to earn $10,000, and they clicked on it. And maybe that link was a ransomware email. Their email laptop will get infected. There is a separate set of solutions that will protect on the email. But if they got infected and they are trying to spread into the medical and IoT world, Assembly can help prevent that. We do help with providing overall visibility into the environment on IT servers, workstations, so we can provide that visibility, protect that. So we do play a big part, in fact, a huge part in protecting the environment, reducing the attack surface, providing the visibility. But obviously, it's in conjunction with other solutions that already exist. But our role is fairly large in the environment in reducing the surface and making it harder for attackers to effectively get to and compromise these networks for sure.
Okay, so Shankar, that sounds excellent. What I wanted to ask was, could you tell us, should a customer bring you in early in the process to tell them what are the things that they should be doing with basic hygiene in normal IT world, training, education, et cetera? Or should they really bring you guys in at Assembly after they've taken care of their basic cybersecurity infrastructure and then want to deal with all the difficult stuff?
Yeah. So I would say, look, there are some basic steps people have to do. I think, first of all, I would say there has to be some processes in place. Training has to be in place. You can have all the technology in the world, but if someone is ready to click on every link that is sent to them in spam, then you're not really going to solve the problem. So training has to be a basic element. Processes have to be in place. But beyond training and processes, you have to do basic stuff. Two-factor authentication, right? If your password got compromised, if your password is the same as your name, or if your password is password 123, and you are not getting people to change it, you need to have a second factor authentication. So two-factor authentication is a big deal. You know, even cyber insurers now ask for two-factor authentication as a requirement. Some basic endpoint security is the deal. If you have a laptop, having a Norton or a McAfee, whatever endpoint security, CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is very popular. So CrowdStrike or something there is a very big deal. Having some kind of email protection, like I said, people do make mistakes on their emails. So having some kind of email protection is a big deal. Firewalls in the network are useful stuff. So there are some basic components, like I said, that are useful to have in the network. And then you can build on top of it, like data loss prevention solutions or other stuff. But there is some basic cyber hygiene that you have to follow, like I said. And then we do provide some of the basic hygiene in terms of visibility as well, in terms of vulnerability. So it's not just the complex stuff. We also provide the basic hygiene and multiple layers on top of it. And you can actually see it as a basic hygiene all the way to the more complex stuff. And so we add to the basic hygiene to the more complex stuff picture as well.
That makes complete sense. And as you think about what you taught us here a minute ago, is that there is no, of course, silver bullet, and it does take multiple partners. Who are the most common partners that you say that they should already have in terms of security for things that Assembly is orthogonal to, or meaning adjacent to? So for example, there's a lot of human factors problems on desktops or with electronic health record solutions. They need training, they need awareness. So what should they be working on, a customer of yours should be working on in that area, but then still bring you in all the very, very difficult things like network monitoring and knowing about devices, et cetera?
Sorry, so I missed that question. Can you repeat that question?
No, I love the fact that you said that bringing you early gives them a proper roadmap, right? That's one of the biggest issues, is that when you come to a complex environment in like a hospital, no single person is accountable. So there's no common roadmap for all of this. And I love the idea of bringing you guys in to say, hey, at least just give us a roadmap of where most of our problems might be. And then hospitals could start assigning things and then bringing you back to do all the hard stuff. I mean, that's what I really see here, is that there's some easy stuff, low-hanging fruit that can be handled other ways. But I mean, just editorial note, I've been doing this for a very, very long time. And there are lots of cybersecurity companies out there that just don't handle med devices at all. I'm like, how are you possibly working in a hospital environment and not be, and that's not your focus area? I just don't see how you could be secure without it. So with that, Shankar, thank you so much for your insightful perspective on the critical need for enhanced cybersecurity in hospitals. Before we wrap up, anything you want to share as far as your contact information or last minute notes to give to the audience before we leave?
Yeah, I would say you should come in early, because remember, there's a visibility and inventory piece, which is the foundation of all the basic stuff, right? So for example, if you're going to do email and if you're going to do a two-factor authentication, knowing what systems are there tells you where should you apply two-factor authentication, where should you do not. For example, a doctor was telling me recently in a hospital, if I am in the surgery center and I have to enter a two-factor authentication in the middle of a surgery, either this is going to not end well. I'm getting an SMS, waiting for an SMS to enter it, and I'm trying to see what is happening on the procedure, not a good idea. So knowing what the system is tells you where two-factor authentication can be done and where it should not be done. Otherwise, it can cause patient harm, because cybersecurity should not conflict with patient safety itself. So having the basic level of visibility and awareness is foundational to building cyber hygiene. And so one of our modules is visibility and awareness, on which you build some of the basic elements of cyber hygiene, on which you again build the next layer of Assembly on vulnerability. And so I would say bring us in early to provide that visibility hygiene. Then you can build some basic foundational elements. Then we can build other elements on top of it. And so that's exactly how this would work. Right. So assembly should be brought in early to kind of enable the environment.
Shankar, thank you so much for your insightful perspectives on the critical need for enhanced cybersecurity in hospitals, especially on the power of device vulnerability scoring. I mean, I'm amazed by that capability. And of course, as we wrap up, just tell the audience where they can learn more about you and your company and any last minute advice you might have as we get out.
Yeah, so I would say thank you so much, Shahid. I enjoyed the interview, first of all. They can learn more about Assembly at assembly.com. There is also, there's also email address on the website they can reach out to. But if you go to assembly.com, there's more information about the company as well as numbers to reach out to as well as emails to get to. And the only advice I have to customers, look, the problem is complex. The problem is big, but you can solve it. It is not an unsolvable problem. Assembly exists to help you solve the problem. And it is an elephant that you have to solve, but you can eat it one chunk at a time. So it is a solvable problem if you take the approach, if you take the right approach and you take the little steps to get there.
Oh, I love that attitude. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on Trending Now on Healthcare Now Radio for this engaging discussion. Stay tuned for more episodes where we explore the latest trends and innovations shaping healthcare's future. Thank you so much.